You're listening to the PT and the Gib Dog podcast, episode 41. Today we break down the struggling Celtics at the NBA's three-quarter mark and propose a few solutions to get them to the playoffs on a winning note. Let's do this. All right, it's been an eventful almost 3 weeks, I think, since we last caught up. This is another Gib Dog on the Road Chronicles, somewhere on the Mass Pike.
Yes.
on this Sunday evening, but you know, eventful few weeks. Patriots 6th Super Bowl championship. We're not going to spend a ton of time on that. We're just so spoiled.
It's probably not good to talk about the Patriots right now.
No. We're just what's happening is being discussed enough in a bunch of different places. So we're not going to dive into that. A couple new additions, a child on your part and a puppy on my part. So
yeah,
we're each dealing with lack of sleep from different critters.
lack of sleep, and obviously lack of time to do a podcast, so we don't get yelled at by
this one. Yeah, this one's excusable, I think. Usually it's on us for the gaps, but this one's excusable.
This one's definitely excusable.
In other good news, even the Bruins have gone like 10-2. Since we last spoke. So everything is going great in the world of Boston.
Homecoming for Charlie Coyle, you know, other local product coming home, you know?
Yep. There we go. Defending champions in both baseball and football over LA teams. So, of course we're going to spend the next 30 minutes complaining, cause that's the most fun thing to do because, oh man, the Celtics have been terrible. So wanted to include that opening part. We are very spoiled being Boston sports fans.
Yeah, they haven't been terrible. They had they had the worst loss of the season last night.
Yeah, we lost to the Bulls by 10. We've beaten the Bulls by 40 twice this year.
Sure, right. So it was one really, really bad game. But prior to that, they have been arguably playing their best stretch of basketball.
I don't know. This has been a season of lows. I mean, the 10-10 start was a low point.
Right.
Back-to-back losses to the Clippers and the Lakers was a low point. The Bulls loss was the worst.
Other than that low point of losing those two games back-to-back, the stretch surrounding it, those two games aside, and then the loss to Chicago last night, they have been pretty good of late.
They've been decent. You know, the fifth seed, the East, decent, right?
Right.
But the expectations are greater. And honestly, it's not just what's happening on the floor. It's off the floor, which is what's really frustrating to me. Because this should be such a fun team to watch. And they're not likable. They don't enjoy playing with each other. It's obvious watching that on the floor. I don't know. I'm frustrated by it. I'm just frustrated by it.
I think a lot of that... Before we deem them unlikable, and if you look at the ratings, look at everything. Like I think I read the other day that their ratings on Comcast are down like 27% or something since last year, I guess across the board, NBA across the board on the local affiliates is down a bit, and I think it's a lot to do with because the frenzy and people seem to care about the free agent BS. Mm-hmm. And you know all that stuff.
Yeah.
More so than what's actually going on the court. I think part of the reason I think that you said that there is because of one, what their expectation was. And then two, I think just how Kyrie Irving has come off, and anytime he comes. He speaks to the media within the past couple weeks, whether it was when they were down in New York, when he's the whole ask me July 1st. The whole ask me July 1st thing. And then coupled with the overanalyzation of him talking to Kevin Durant in the hallway at the All-Star game and people, you know, immediately, you know, he's holding up two fingers and people saying he's saying they have two max slots. Like all this stuff and all this fabrication, and I'm not saying it's you're putting these thoughts in your own head and you're saying they're unlikable. I think people as on a whole are you know, developing this aura about this team because of all this stuff that is being said. And do they probably mm-hmm. have their issues in the locker room a little bit? Yeah, I think they do. I think Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Terry Rozier are a little mm-hmm. PO'd that they've had to take a little of a backseat, well, more than a little, but a backseat mm-hmm. to Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward and whatnot, and their roles have lessened. I think there's a little bit of that. They probably didn't like, you know, Kyrie calling them out, you know, a month or so ago. They probably weren't crazy about Marcus Morris saying that, you know, things haven't been fun around here lately. But that's normal stuff that comes in NBA locker room. I think that's just been magnified a little bit of that because of the expectations that this team had coming into this year. And then just how everything that comes out of Kyrie Irving's mouth is being analyzed like the Zapruder film. You know, it's just, I think we need to just take a deep breath and just take a step back from it a little bit.
Yes, these are all fair points. They're on pace to win 50 games this year, which it would be fewer games than they've won the last 2 years, and close to the 48 that they won 3 years ago, the year they lost to the Hawks in the first round. And I think we were thinking that they would be a lot closer to the 60 total than the 50 total. So, yes, they've underachieved, and part of that is integrating new people into the lineup, specifically Hayward. I think a lot has to be on Brad Stevens, and we were so full of praise for him as the coach in his first, five seasons? This is year six for him?
Right.
Five great seasons. And you know what? They were always the underdog. They were always the little team that could when they had Isaiah Thomas, or they're dealing with injuries and they're overachieving and we're getting these rookies and second year guys to outperform. This is, even at Butler, he had a team that was always the underdog. This is his first season where he came in with very high expectations. And so far in my eyes, he has not managed to figure out the right way to lead this team. Cause Kyrie is, he's such an amazing player. And I know what their record is. They're something like 9-1 when he doesn't play, but most of the stats show that they are a much, much better team when he's on the floor. And part of that 9-1 record is due to who they're playing and things like that. But
they don't even have a shot to win that game against Milwaukee the other night without him. Some of the shots he made. You know, so
he was terrible for about three quarters, but yeah, the fourth quarter was.
See his value and why he's so important and will be come playoff time.
Yes. Yes, I agree. So we'll see. I don't know. I mean, this is honestly the most disappointed and pissed off I've been with a Celtics team. Ready for this? Since 2005, since they lost that series to the Pacers, and we went to that Game 7 that they lost to 30 to that team that didn't even have half their players because they were all suspended because of the Artest melee. But I don't know. I feel like we've been pretty blessed, even though they've only won one title the last 14 years. We've been blessed by teams that generally outperform, are generally likable. I don't know. This team just frustrates me to no end, and it's tough to watch them when they're just not playing. They're actively not playing defense, and especially with how defensive play has been the mainstay for this team. Whether it's Horford, whether it's Smart, whether it's Morris, I don't know. It's frustrating, and I realize that they're hanging in there as the fifth seed. But if the playoffs started today, they'd be playing Philly in the first round, and that is a matchup we wanted to see at the end of May, not in April.
But yeah, no, and I want to. I think when all is said and done, yes, I think they're three games behind Indiana right now. I mean, props to an Indiana team to keep it going after the devastating injury to Oladipo.
Yeah.
You know, I think the fact that can they sustain that in a playoff series? No, I'm not necessarily sure.
Not.
Like, if the playoffs started today, say Indiana finishes in that three seed, they're going to have their hands full with a Brooklyn Nets team, who I believe is still sitting in the sixth spot. I haven't been checking the NBA standings daily. Haven't exactly had the time to do that.
They are.
But that's a tough first round series for the Pacers, minus a superstar who can take over, or an all-star, I won't say superstar, minus a all-star, a guy who was going to be an all-star starter if he hadn't gotten hurt, in Victor Oladipo. Without him, that's going to be a tough series. I think some people would pick Brooklyn in that series.
So I mean, to be fair, they're a 500 team.
Yeah.
They're 31 and 30, but.
Yeah, no, but I still think there will be some people that would, you know, and I think it would be a long 6-7 game series, which is going to carry me into my next point to something you just said, you know, again, about the likability, how, you know, the Celtics teams the last, you know, of the not well, last year when they were without, you know, Hayward and Irving and, you know, make the run all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals. The year before, the team that finishes with the best record in the East, you know, Isaiah Thomas, all 5 foot, five of them, throwing the team on his shoulders, you know, a bunch of overachieving guys that, you know, you're not, there's no, the expectations with that team were not, you know, were not as high as they were, you know, achieving on the floor. And if people want that, if people want to go back to teams like that, if we want to let Kyrie Irving, and I'm not saying you want to do that. I'm not saying this is what you're proposing we do. But if there are people out there that want to let Kyrie Irving walk off to L.A. or walk off to, you know, New York or Brooklyn, you know, in the offseason, you know, when his contract is up. And, you know, no Kyrie Irving means probably they don't go trade for Anthony Davis. I mean, if you want to bring back a team of Terry Rozier and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Al Horford and Gordon Hayward, who's probably, you know, probably be better next year, a year further removed from injury. Sure, you might have a team that might end up, that team might end up with a better regular season record than this Celtics team has constituted, but they're going to get to the playoffs and they're going to hit the brick wall that is the Cleveland Cavaliers a couple of years ago, you know, where they lost in five games. You know, lose in seven to a Cavs team. You lose to the team that has the star power because your guys that were playing over their heads throughout the playoffs, you know, the bright lights of the game seven, you know, they don't answer the call as much. You know, if people want that type of team, you're going to have a team that's going to get to the second round of the Eastern Conference Finals, but not be able to go over, you know, to get over the hump. And again, people are probably, and I didn't listen to it today, and I'm sure it wasn't talked about a lot because of the recent news with the Patriots, but they asked Kyrie Irving last night, hey, what do you have to say about this loss? And he immediately, I guess, dismissed it. I just read it. I didn't see it, but he dismissed the loss. He said he put it behind him. Yep. He says, you know, I have no worries about us come playoff time because I don't see anybody beating us in a 7-game series. Now, I think that's a little bit of a stretch, but I think come playoff time, this Celtics team has constituted will be a very tough out for any team in 7 games. And I think he's on the right track about that just because of, you know, the certain guys can go off on certain nights and then you would have that guy who can take over at the end of games and hit big shots. And a Kyrie Irving who's proven that he can do it at the NBA Finals level. I think there's certainly some credence to what he said last night. It's a long way to go and a lot to do, but I think it's people have to decide what type of team do you want.
Yeah, and I think that's a fine answer. I mean, my preference for Kyrie answers are when he doesn't say anything, just given he's given.
But he's not going to do that.
Clearly, he's building his own brand. And I've
call him, say the words, Pat, what have you been calling him?
He's been acting like an emo millennial is what I've been saying. Which I think he has been, but he's our best player and he does amazing things down the stretch. And we almost beat the Bucks single-handedly because of his performance at the end, not just getting to the hoop, but also finding Horford for that big three, toward the end. So I hear you on that front and I'm not scared of Indiana. I'm not scared of Brooklyn. We've beaten Philly 21 out of 24 times, so I
and
prefer
who knows
not.
Who knows what's up with Joel Embiid's knee?
Yeah, you know? No, I know. I just don't want to play them in the first round.
No, I know.
But yeah. I do not see us right now the way that we are playing. I do not see how we get past either Milwaukee or Toronto. Is what I will say.
Yeah, no, I think there's with the way both teams are playing. Yes, but I think you saw how they, you know, they played against Milwaukee the other night again, and I know you're going to tell me. Okay, Mike, you know, I'm going to say that we didn't have Gordon Hayward, who has been playing well of late. He had up until he twisted his ankle, you know, his better ankle, thank God.
Yep.
But he had some really big games, that huge game for us against Philly. You know, Kyrie Irving didn't play in. I mean, he was just kind of starting to hit his stride. So I reserve judgment on that. Just the fact that they were able to play Milwaukee as well, as close as they did, you know, and not playing as well. A little bit of all-star game rust, I guess, on both sides of the floor. More so in the first half, which I didn't see. It was a much better second half, which is the portion of the game I saw the most part. That's a seven-game series, though. I know you don't say I don't see us getting past Milwaukee, you know. I'd probably pick the Bucks too. I probably would that was the Eastern Conference Finals matchup today. I'd probably pick the Bucks in seven, especially if they had home court. But that series is going seven.
Toronto's going seven. You would pick the team that has the best record in the NBA.
Okay. I would, but it's a seven-game series, and what do they say about game sevens, Pat? It's cliche. Anything can happen in a game seven.
It's better be at home. That's what they say.
And you have the guy who can single-handedly take over.
Because we were home against them last year, and that's why we beat them. So it's better to be at home in game sevens.
You're right. But this time you have the guy who you can win those game sevens on the road, though, because you have the guy you can take over in late games.
I know that. We are 14-15 on the road, but I hear you on that front. What does Stevens do with the rotation, though? We are playing nine guys now, let's be honest. We have Irving and Rozier at the point, Smart and Brown at the two, mostly Tatum and I guess Morris at the three, Hayward at the four, and then Horford and Baines at the five. 10 guys if you count Tice, and Tice has actually been pretty freaking good this year. What do you do with the rotation? You can't play 10 guys. I mean, I thought this was a regular season type team. The amount of depth that they have, they could go 10 deep and really get guys good rest during the season. And I feel like Steven's going to have to make some really hard choices because you can't play all of these guys 20 minutes a game come April and May.
Well, it's gonna come down to matchups and who they play and what's the better matchup in that game. And there's going to be one to two guys are going to be mad about it. I don't think you have to worry about Daniel Tice or Aaron Baines causing a misfit, which, by the way, I read an interesting stat today that this season when Aaron Baines plays more than 15 minutes, the Celtics are 15-2. When he plays less than 15, it was like they're a 500 team. So they're missing Baines' presence defensively.
Yeah. Because then Horford can bump to the four.
When he comes back, that's another guy
added
into the rotation right now where you could argue they have one too many guys right now as it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think Rozier's minutes are clearly going to go down.
Oh, he's clearly a different player when Kyrie Irving doesn't play.
So Rozier is, let's call it what it is. He's injury insurance right now. He's adding zero value other than being, if Kyrie doesn't play, he's a serviceable point guard, but he's not playing if Kyrie's healthy. And then it comes down to Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward. I don't think there's enough minutes for both of them.
Yeah, no, that's certainly the case. I think it's going to be on a case-by-case basis what the better matchup is. I think Hayward's going to be the one that's going to be able to accept that more. Jaylen Brown's clearly shown that he's not going to be willing to accept that. I mean, he can say all he wants and he can say all he wants to win and all that good stuff, but I don't truly believe it, and I don't blame him for being pissed off that he's not playing.
He hasn't been good this year.
he's shown that he's capable. He's worthy of playing minutes, you know, on this team.
He's been a little better lately, but I mean,
I can find 25 other teams in the NBA that would be happy to have Jaylen Brown in their rotation. Probably more than half of those in their starting lineup. It's a problem. And, an injury could occur here where, you know, the decision is the decision and the tough choice is taken away from Stevens.
Yep.
But if they all stay healthy, it's going to be very interesting come playoff time. But I think we've reached the dog days of the NBA season, the dog days of February, March, where they're just kind of waiting to get to the playoffs. And you can kind of sense that a little bit in kind of what Kyrie Irving said last night, where he's already starting to talk about the playoffs and how he's not worried about them come playoffs. And you got to wonder, is this team kind of a bit on cruise control a little bit for playoff time? And it's going to affect their seeding, and that's going to be unfortunate, where it could, you know, it could potentially cost them a series because, you'd much rather them playing, you know, as many games as they can at TD Garden. But maybe there is a switch that comes come playoff time with these guys a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah. And there's 22 games left in the season. They're three back of the Pacers for the three. They're a game behind Philly for the four. I think we play Indy twice coming down the stretch. So
you got to win both those games.
Yeah, and again, I don't see the Pacers finishing as the three seed. I think it'll either be us or Philly. And you know what? I'm fine if we're the four or the five playing Indy. I'm fine if we're the three playing the Nets. I really do not want to be the four or five, especially the five playing Philly. That would be not ideal there.
No.
So, you know, I think we'll at least avoid the sixes in the first round.
I'd still pick us in the series, though.
I know you would. Would you prefer, I guess, to be the four or the five and have to go through Milwaukee, or be the three and then have to go through Toronto in round two?
I mean, we've had the one stinker against Milwaukee, but they were playing without Irving and Hayward, I believe. And I think maybe Horford didn't even play in that game, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
But I'm not 100% sure. But the one stinker against Milwaukee, and then with Toronto, I feel like all the games with Toronto have been close.
They've all been close, yeah.
They've all been close. So it really doesn't matter to me, to be totally honest with you. I've been trying to convince I've been convincing myself that you want to kind of hold off on playing, you know, probably the best player in the conference until the conference finals. But then Kawhi Leonard might present more problems for the Celtics as constituted than the Bucks do.
You probably got to go through them both. Let's be honest.
You got to go through them both. So I think it doesn't really matter at this point. You know, obviously now with Marc Gasol in the fold, you definitely want a healthy Aaron Baines back.
Yeah.
And if Baines is going to have some injury issues, as well as Daniel Tice has played, you know, in the minutes he's played, as well as Al Horford played Joel Embiid in that game, you know, right before the All-Star break.
And generally does.
You still need another big guy. So the fact that they haven't, I mean, they could, and if they want that insurance, they can go out and buy it with their mid-level exception. I think they have $5.3 million
that
they could throw at a buyout candidate right now.
As long as that person is comfortable playing zero minutes if there's no injury issues.
Right, and I think Danny Ainge said that this week, that, you know, a lot of the guys are looking for promises when they sign on here, because their buyout guys are looking for their next contract. Like, Wesley Matthews was never going to come here because there's no minutes at his position.
What about Greg Monroe?
You know, Greg Monroe just takes the money. Now, come on. And now you got to find a guy that, you know, be willing to accept, oh, if the minutes are there, you know, you're going to play. If not, you know, hey, there's still $5.3 million.
Here's a good one. I'm going to keep throwing buyout guys at you that we used to have. How about Troy Murphy?
Troy Murphy. Oh, my Lord. Yeah.
He was terrible for us.
Oh, God. Greg Monroe, Troy Murphy. Who are the other ones?
P.J. Brown is a good one. Let's get more of him.
P.J. Brown was the best one. Some other ones from that stretch of time was Mikhail Petras.
Sam Cassell.
Sam Cassell. What are some other good buyout guys? Stephon Marbury. Don't forget Stephon Marbury.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Buyout guys are the best.
The Celtics have had have just been great. But it's not going to be a name that's going to not that Wesley Matthews or Enes Kanter are necessarily going to be big names, but those are guys that know they're not going to play big minutes here.
No.
One name to watch out there who hasn't, I don't think, signed anywhere yet, that if they find out Baines isn't going to be healthy enough and we creep closer to March 1st, which is coming very soon, Friday of this week.
Yeah.
There's a guy like a Marcin Gortat. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of the type of guy that could fill that Baines role a little bit. If Baines is going to be struggling with some nagging injuries, that's a decent insurance policy to have, on your bench for the rest of the year.
Especially against Gasol.
Right, exactly. And that's where I was getting before we digress, talking about buyout guys. I was in a matchup with Toronto. You need someone like a Baines, or if Baines isn't healthy, someone like a Gortat to factor in with Gasol. And we'll see, because they said Baines won't play against Toronto on Tuesday.
I think
that's when they play, right?
Yep.
He won't play against Toronto on Tuesday. And that's going to be a bit of a struggle matchup, you know, for the Celtics. For Horford and Tice, that's going to be a lot to ask of them. So, if Baines isn't going to be right and ready for the playoffs, we kind of need some insurance for him. you know, particularly in a matchup against Toronto.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. And again, there's still time, and the NBA regular season is so forgiving as it relates to the playoffs. So would it be frustrating to be the 5 seed? Of course it would be. But, you know, you could there are paths to the finals in all directions.
Oh, sure.
So even though we have a better point differential than all but the Bucks in the Eastern Conference and all but Golden State in the Western Conference, you could argue this team has been a little unlucky in terms of losing so many of these 1 or 2 point games, which I think favors them in the end. And I think the big question, which I know we've talked about before, is Gordon Hayward. Can he be that player who's on the floor at the end of games? Because right now, home at the end of a game, and again, it depends on matchups, but Kyrie is out there. Horford is out there. Marcus Smart better be out there. I like Tatum out there. But then that fifth guy, is it Morris? Is it Hayward? Is it Brown? Is it a Baines, depending on the matchup? I mean,
yeah.
You'd love for 2017 All-Star Gordon Hayward to be that guy out there, to give you a different type of look, be able to penetrate and kick the ball or D up on the other side of the floor, and be able to switch off guys and bring some intensity. So it's going to come down to, he's had 3 quarters of the season now to get healthy and get comfortable. Can he really take it to that next level? And you see flashes of it. You mentioned Philly. I think he hit 6 out of 7 threes. He was going to the rim. And it's a different team if he's out there doing that. When you have Kyrie playing the maestro role and taking over down the stretch, and you kind of have Tatum getting some of the looks that he had at the beginning of last year when he was a little bit of a known entity, no one had film on him, and he kind of had space to do what he wanted. If you have a couple scorers out there and Horford spacing the floor, and Tatum hitting his shots, then you can have Smart doing his thing, running around like crazy, hopefully not shooting eight threes in a game and reverting back to bad Marcus. And that's scary.
He almost
scary
did
team.
It against Philly. He almost did it against
Philly.
He's like
1 for 8. It's terrible.
Just like, oh. And I think you're going to see some offense defense too, where you can come playoff time. You know, Stevens will be the first one to do that. The offense defense to death on dead ball situations and whenever he can, you know, with a Marcus. And maybe it's that last spot is a Smart or it's Morris both ends, and it's a Smart Hayward offense defense. I don't know, but
yeah, I'm fine with that. But I don't want someone like Hayward in. We miss a shot offense. There's no timeout, and then Marcus isn't in defensively because I think we lose that Lakers game because he's not on the floor getting that loose ball as it's getting batted around. So I hear you. So we'll see.
Yeah, no. We will. I think the last 20 games will be a little bit telling here to see how it goes. I think the first test will be Tuesday in Toronto. How do they respond to that crappy performance in Chicago?
And Toronto's a tough place to play. The Raptors are 25-6 this year at home. But you know, they're a little bit inconsistent as well. Like they're a little bit maddening. They just lost to the Magic, I think, by 15 at home.
Yep, they just squeaked by the Spurs, which the Spurs are no, you know, pushover when it comes to, you know, a game at home. But Kawhi Leonard doesn't strip DeMar DeRozan there and going for a layup, Spurs win that game.
Should be a good one on Tuesday, and then a little bit of a home stretch with Portland, Washington, and Houston. You'd love to take two of those three at home, the Wizards and then one of the Western Conference teams. And then they're on the road for four. Golden State, Sacramento, and then the Lakers and Clippers again. And it'll be interesting to see how this team shows up. I think we lost to three of those teams in the last few weeks. So you'd like to see them really take some energy and see if we can get some momentum going down to the final stretch of the season.
Yeah. How this stretch of what is kind of it's a challenging stretch for sure for the Celtics coming up here in the next month or so. But what happens in the rest of the conference too? Like we said, does Indiana still maintain what they've been doing? Both of us say no, I think, effectively. And I mentioned it before.
Yeah.
Back to Joel Embiid's knee. Like I said, I haven't paid too much attention to it. But has anything more come out of that other than the fact that they're just saying, like, they're resting him for a week, but The fact I heard something that they're resting and then reevaluating in a week, that's never a good thing, I don't think.
Yeah, they're basically saying rest and reevaluation, and I think they're taking it super precautious, just given the history of his injuries, both at Kansas and also his first 2 years in the league. So far, they think it's just sore, but I mean that team. I mean, picking up Harris is a big addition for them, but it's a completely different team if he's not on the floor. Because Redick's not getting the shots, Simmons can't shoot anyway, and you're not winning with Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris as your two scorers. No, that's for sure.
You're not. And I think those are two important factors. Can Indiana maintain this? Because the same what they're doing. And how healthy or unhealthy is Joel Embiid? And maybe a week from now he's back playing, and it's not much of a moot point. But there's a lot of variables that will decide the shuffling of 3 through 5.
Yeah. Last question for you. Let's go back in time to April 2018, Game 7, Celtics and Bucks, 3 games apiece. I think Jaylen Brown got banged up in that game. I think Semi Ojeleye ended up playing about 35 minutes.
Jaylen Brown didn't miss. I think he didn't play like past like the middle of the second quarter because he missed game one of the Sixers series.
Yeah. So a game where we were a little bit shorthanded in addition to Irving and Hayward, end up winning. And then of course beating the Sixers in 5 and taking the Cavs to 7. Let's say the Celtics lose that game. They lose in 7 to the Bucks. Maybe Giannis makes the leap last year and they beat the Sixers in 5 and then they lose to the Cavs, which would have been a nice transition to the amazing year that they're having this year on pace for, I think, 63 wins. Does my disappointment and the general disappointment of the Celtics, does that change if the Celtics lose in 7? And again, had they lost in 7, would we have been upset? Maybe a little bit. But with all the injuries, it's like, hey, okay, let's reload and get them next year. What do you think in that alternate world where they don't get by the Bucks in game one? Are things different between Rozier and Brown and Tatum?
I think they are, because they didn't accomplish anything without Irving and Hayward. I think this sounds like me taking an easy way out, but that's an impossible question to answer.
I'm going to ask you another one right after this, which is, would it have been better had the Celtics not had those 8 additional postseason wins, 1 against Milwaukee, 3 against 4 against Philly, and 3 against Cleveland? Would it actually have been better for this year and next year and beyond had we lost to the Bucks in 7 games that series?
You could make that argument, but the argument I'm going to make, piggybacking on what I said earlier about this team come playoff time and how I feel that they're better. This Celtic team is better built for the playoffs than Celtic teams of a couple years ago. I think they're more built for the playoffs because the guys like Rozier and Tatum and Brown will have been able, will have that experience under their belt, have, you know, those 18 playoff games last year or whatever it was, 19 playoff games. They have that experience under their belt. They shined in big moments when they needed it. Terry Rozier in a game 7, Tatum and Jaylen Brown during the times where they were both, you know, the number one option, you know, for the Celtics, you know, they each took their turns at it. I think that makes them better off for this upcoming playoff run, regardless of where the series goes. But there will be people that would say, Pat, what you're saying is true, that they would have been better off because Tatum, Brown, and Rozier wouldn't have tasted the success that they had and felt that they were entitled to the minutes and the touches that they feel that they are. But I don't necessarily subscribe to that, but there are people that would agree with you on that.
Yes. Okay. I kind of like your answer. I think they're a worse regular season team this year because of it, but potentially could be a better postseason team. It all depends. And health is the biggest factor. If we had talked this time last year, we would have been like, what do you mean Kyrie's not going to play in the playoffs? Let's go. Like big win against the Raptors. I remember that. We watched that together last year. We were excited for how this team would do in the playoffs, and then no Kyrie, and that changes everything. So you never know with injuries, and sometimes it's an injury that opens up minutes for a certain guy, and it ends up balancing things out the right way. So we will see, but it should be an interesting final stretch of the season. The East looks a little bit more loaded than the West for the first time in a really long time in terms of recent memory. So we'll see how the last couple of weeks go, and I'm sure we'll have time to do a little end of the season preview, playoff preview, recap type pod in the next couple of weeks here.
Well, in the next couple of weeks, and if they go on this crazy winning streak, we'll definitely have to have time to overreact to the Celtics 7-game winning streak, which included wins over Toronto and both LA teams and the Rockets.
And the Warriors
on the road. We'll definitely overreact to that.
And you're the optimist, I'm the pessimist, or in the if they go on a 7-game losing streak and we need to evaluate if we're going to stay ahead of the Nets for the 6 seed, for the 5 seed, I mean.
I don't think that will happen. They're not going to go on a 7-game win streak, but they're not going to lose all those games.
I don't think so either. So we'll see. I mean, again, more than half the teams make the damn playoffs in the NBA, so it really doesn't matter too much.
Before we go, speaking of injuries, I don't think I laughed harder than when it's seeing that video of Draymond Green spraining his ankle in front of the bench. And
Steve Kerr
just not even paying a bit of attention to it. I don't think I've ever been so happy to see someone sprain my ankle and grab their ankle in pain in my life.
Is Steve Kerr the best? I think he's the best.
It's unbelievable. He really is the best.
I love Steve Kerr.
And he must hate Draymond Green like the rest of us too.
Oh man, nothing like a super vocal, arrogant, internally decisive wannabe superstar who's averaging 7-7-7, who thinks he's going to get paid $35 million next year.
Well, he's about to sign with Rich Paul and Clutch.
I don't know if that means anything anymore. Like the Lakers are not going to sign him. If they do, that's just a dumb move.
If they strike out at everybody else, yeah, they probably would. I think that definitely could happen. And great, we can hate the Lakers even more. It'll be awesome.
Oh, man. What if he ends up in New York?
Even better.
Kemba Walker, Draymond Green, your 2019 Knicks.
Yep. And then Knicks fans will be like, we traded Porzingis for this crap.
Have fun with 46 wins every year and a loss of the first round.
Kemba Walker and Draymond Green. That's a good combo for the Knicks.
I've been
coming up with my dream team of like second tier max guys when they don't get Durant and Irving and
you mean the David Lee Memorial second tier max guys?
Yeah, like it'd be like Tobias Harris, and then I'm trying to find like my second.
Kemba's a good one.
Tobias Harris, and I got to think on that.
But yeah,
Tobias Harris is definitely one of them. Tobias going back home to New York, taking his max money. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy Butler's not a bad one either.
Yeah, but I would still put Butler kind of in that tier one of the 2019 guys that could get max free agent money. But the guys that could, like the Tobias Harris's of the world and the Draymond Greens, who really are max guys but could get the money, you know.
How about Clay?
I think they'll try to bring him back.
He's staying. He's not going anywhere. Yeah,
they'll give Thompson the money before they give it to Draymond Green. So.
The thing with Thompson is he's so much better on that team than he would be on any other team. If he's the number one guy in another team, I'm sorry. I like Clay. He's a good defensive player too. Half his threes, he's wide open. Like he's not getting those looks if he's playing in Charlotte.
He'd fit in well with the Lakers though, with LeBron. He would.
Yeah, he's from LA. The whole Michael Thompson thing.
I mean, that fit is there. That fit is there.
I wouldn't mind seeing Clay and Green though if things went a different direction. I wouldn't mind that at all.
We don't have the money for him though, but I understand.
Yeah. We could.
Oh, there you go. There's my New York Knicks max 2 seconds. Tobias Harris and Clay Thompson.
Oh God.
That's it right there.
Who's the coach?
Fizdale
still coaching? Okay.
It is. Oh, yeah.
God, have fun with the 7 seed.
Yeah.
Kevin, exactly. Kevin Knox.
Exactly. All right.
All right. Well, good NBA talk. We'll make it happen in the next couple of weeks. Hopefully, we'll have the Celtics on a winning streak, looking at home court for at least one round. And more than anything, hopefully Kyrie shuts up. I don't know. Do you think Jackie Mack could corner him and do a do a deep interview where she's kind of giving him the advice opposed to the other way around. I don't know. We need some intervention, and it's not happening internally.
Would that work on an emo millennial, Pat? You know better than me.
I think Jackie Mack could get it done. I don't know who else could get it done.
She normally is the ghost whisperer or whatever you want to call
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think ghost whisperer is the term, but I'll give it to you.
Well, you know what I mean?
whatever works.
Insert word whisperer.
Yeah, exactly. All righty. Safe rest of your drive. Thanks, and we'll make it happen again soon.
Sounds good.
All right. See ya.